Connect. There we go. Look at there. We are live. Okay, guys. This is Crane Christian Church. All right, we call it our first service, and we are starting a new series on the gospel according to Mark. Okay? And I'm not going to go too far down this little rabbit hole that I got on. So, yeah, nobody believes me when I say that. But anyway, there's a little bit of controversy about who wrote Mark. Okay. I don't have any strong opinions. Okay. But there are people who believe and teach that Mark was kind of a second generation believer in the New Testament church and was discipled by Peter and Paul at different times. Okay. And that's the person who wrote it. And there was a Mark that they did disciple at different times, but somebody, oh no, that couldn't have been him. He would have been about in his teenage years when Jesus' ministry would have been going. Some people believe that he did actually was introduced to Christ at that time, but then was the same. Okay. And then some people believe it's somebody else. Well, guess what? It's in the canon. It was except in, I like Mark. I've done through in the last 40 years or so, I've probably been through Mark about three times teaching it, and I like it. So let's start in the beginning with Mark. Let's start on chapter 1. In the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now think about the way he lays the foundation, okay? First off, I want to give you some words, because you know that's what I do, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, unfortunately, whatever. First off, this word gospel, that is translated into two words, good news. And I want to tell you that in the world today, not just in this country, I'm talking about in the world and through thousands of years. Okay, now, a religious institution has not always been good news when it shows up. You know, even in Christianity, okay, we have had, we've burned each other at the stake. We've done a bunch of stuff, and people say, how can you, you know, because they're people, okay? But the gospel that we're going to go through in the next month, 6 months, 10 years, whatever, how long it takes us, is this. It is good news. And the reason it's good news is because that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and I'm saved. And yeah, do I do a great job at it once in a while and then a rotten job at it most of the time? But guess what? Okay, we'll talk about that later. All right. It's good news. Is this good news to you? Okay. If you're watching this morning, it's good news. Just punch something. Don't do the thumbs down like somebody was doing last night. I hope it was by accident. But anyway, the point being was this, guys. It's good news. And if you've not heard the good news of Jesus Christ, we're going to be talking about it for the next little bit. And then he defines what this gospel is about, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We spent a lot of time in the Christmas sermon talking, and it was short. I say a lot of time that I preached, it wasn't that long, but the point is this, guys. He was born, and we're going to see this in Mark over and over. He is being born with the purpose of and living his life and teaching what he taught. But the purpose of that is to the payment for our sins. And that's why he came. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, and we misunderstood, we being the people of that day, misunderstood that, hey, they're going to deliver us from these Romans. Everything's going to be better. Praise the Lord. You know, everything's going to be. Well, that's not what happened. Romans were still there when he went back to heaven, weren't they? But guess what? A kingdom was established. And I studied Abraham last night. And his kingdom was established. And since that time, you can't count the amount of people who have been redeemed because of what he did. If he had lived a life as an earthly Messiah and been a king, that would have been a generation, because we've been through generational. We've talked about kings and judges. But you know what I'm saying, right? But what he did, he was willing to pay the price for me, because I wasn't alive back then. I know I look like it, but I'm serious, okay? But the point being is this, okay? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's Isaiah 40, which sent me down another rabbit hole, which I will try not to go too deep, okay, with. But I want to tell you guys, I saw a chart many years ago. It was a color-coded chart, that's why I remember it so well, of all of the things that was prophesied happened to the Messiah, that would happen, they would know he was the Messiah. So, and what they did then was took a different color and colored in, okay, so he would be born in Bethlehem, okay? You see what I'm saying? So that was one line. It was on a regular sheet of paper, but it was just line after line after line after line after line. And guys, when I saw that visual picture of that, and there's a line in here, and I don't think it's in Mark, but he literally says this, or the Bible says this, it says, you know, all things have been fulfilled. And you read that and you think, well, so what does that mean? Well, he has fulfilled every prophecy. Can you imagine people saying, well, you know, that's just a coincidence. You know, yeah, he would. Hey, his parents. I mean, we went to the, what was the name of that picture? That thing we went to is called the Christmas show at the Sight and Sound. Miracle of Christmas. But I'm going to tell you something. The bottom line, essentially, when I was watching that, it just came alive to me that, you know, she knew it. Joseph had the dream. He knew it. But they didn't know enough to, oh, we need to go to Bethlehem so we can have this baby. No, that's not what happened. They were trying to follow the law. They were supposed to pay their taxes, which it'll be tax time for long. Yay. Anyway, but oh, it already has been for some of us in Stone County. But anyway. The point being is this, guys. He is the Messiah. And there are this book, this, you know what Biblos means is book. Bible means book. And that's why a lot of times it says holy at the top of it instead of any other book. Holy Biblos. This is a holy Bible. And the reason it's holy is not because we have to have a special box to keep it in. We don't have to. You know, but what we do have to do is this. I'm not saying to be funny. Believe and receive what he is saying to you by his spirit, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit today. So you know who he's talking about, right? This prophecy, he's prophesying about John the Baptist, which is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I like him. I like him a lot. Okay. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now, we're only in verse 4, but here's another amazing point to me. Think about this. This is a guy. that is a part of the Jewish community, which it's all paid for by the lamb sacrifice. He now has him and Jesus been talking around the house? I don't know. That's his cousin. Okay. I don't know. It don't say, so I'm not going to say. But he is saying that the remission of sin does not, it comes from here versus a sacrifice out here. He's preaching it. He's laying the foundation for Jesus's ministry. And when I saw that again, of course, like I say, but when I saw that again, it shook me. Can you think about the guts it took? And then all the Jewish leaders and the temple people and all them showing up, and who do you think you are? Can you imagine the guts it would take to do that? But I think him and Jesus may have had a conversation. I don't know. Or maybe it was just the Holy Spirit drove him to it. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. He had a revival going. So there's another portion of scripture that I studied years ago that it, because, you know, he was in the wilderness, and I went down that studied, but there's a line in there that's very interesting, and it says he was in the wilderness because there was a place to baptize there. He was there, not because I thought maybe he's just getting out of Jerusalem, getting. No, he was there because the river was there, and he could stay there, and he could have a, and God prepared a place for him. So in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance and the law of the land of Judah, those from Jerusalem went out to him. They were baptized, and John was clothed in camel's hair with leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. You know, he did not fit in. And I want, this is another point. This is what I want to make sure that you understand, whether you're watching this online or whether you're here with me this morning, guys. God didn't call you to do it like I do. God didn't call you to do it like Billy Graham did it, does it? He doesn't call you to do it how you just pick somebody, okay? He called you individually to be the man or woman he's called you to be. And I want to tell you, my dad, while I was thinking about this, I thought about all the times my dad literally did what I did yesterday. And I don't do it because my dad did it. I did it because I felt like I needed to. I gathered up some stuff and went and hung out with some people in the marketplace. Going to be very generic in case they're watching. And guys, talked about Jesus. Gave them stuff to help them know more about Jesus. You know, and this was not places that there's no sign out front saying, learn about Jesus here. Okay, we'll just put it like that. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not a honky tonk. Don't go home, start praying for me. Okay. But anyway, so I want to tell you that he was just different. Anybody in here ever felt like you just didn't fit in? I want to tell you, when I went into ministry, I tried so hard. Number one, I didn't want to go in ministry. But if I had to, God just pushed me and 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 pushed me. And I said, okay. So then I was going to try to do it like everybody else. No, I'm serious. Not because I was, it's because, if you take the spark plugs out and you use this wrench and it works for you, then why would I, reinvent the wheel? But guess what? I felt exactly like David felt when Saul was putting that armor on him. And he said, do it like I do it. And I tried. I tried to be normal. I did. A normal preacher. Okay. But anyway, so the point being is he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And then he preached saying, this is verse 7, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, think about this. A lot of times, whether in leadership, okay, actually in life and leadership, it's a temptation for all of us. He could have been saying, wow, all of these people are coming out here. All of this, isn't this a big, you know, in this, look at me, look at me, look at me. Okay, but that's not what he did. What he did instead is what I want to do at this church, what I want to do in my life, and I fail at it sometimes, but what I want to do is point to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every chance I get. And guys, the point being is this. I love the fact, you know, I never dreamt that you could push a button on your telephone and people could watch you from, you know, even other countries and stuff like that. And I appreciate the technology, but I don't want that to be who I am. I want people to know who he is. Does that make sense? But I do. I enjoy the fact that we could do this because it's kind of bad weather out there today. And it looks like it's going to get worse. But anyway, I'm not a weatherman, obviously. But this whole thing, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, we think we know what that looks like. Some of us have been in services where people was running and screaming and hollering and running in circles. And hey, I had a good time. I'm not putting them down at all. Okay. I've been in services where they came in with smoke and walked up the aisle. And then the person got up to speak and I was visiting, obviously, because that's not what we do here. We hope we don't have any smoke in the building. But the point being is this. Then she got up and read my mail. I would have thought, well, you know, it's going to be 3 points in a poem. I'll be out of here and we can go eat Pizza Hut or whatever. And guess what? The Holy Spirit was working through her. I'm like, okay, God, you're God, aren't you? It don't have to look like I think it's supposed to look. Another time, somewhere up north, a priest called me on the phone about a person who used to go to church here, and they were Greek Orthodox, and they were married a Greek Orthodox. Had they ever been immersed? They have to be immersed, you know, da da da. And I said, yeah, I baptized them. So I'm going to get the address and send them a letter. And guys, talking to him, I knew he loved the Lord. He don't do it like we do it. Okay, because I've live streamed his services, but they don't do it like we do it. There's a lot of chanting and stuff going on that I don't understand, but guess what? He loves Jesus. And I think we've put Jesus in a box, and it's got to look, it's got to look like this. You got to sing old songs. You got to sing new songs. You got to have it on the overhead, or you got to be in the books. You got to, you know. Got to wear a collar, or you can't wear a collar. I mean, I want to tell you something. God's big. His Holy Spirit, if you will open your heart to him and receive him, he will work through you. And it came to pass on those days, we're in verse 9, Mark 1 and 9, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now think about that. We're talking about humility. You know, guys, God sent his only begotten son. And his son shows up. Why in the world he didn't show up now where he could have been on Instagram and Facebook and do miracles and, you know, because, you know, I'm not in charge. Surprise, surprise. God knows what he's doing. But I want to tell you, think about the humility that it took in 30 years prior to that, him being in heaven and in the presence of God. And he comes down and submits himself to be baptized. And I've heard people say before, you know, well, you know, I'm not going to be baptized. I'm not. Well, I will tell you something. Baptized is an act of humility. And it's saying, I don't have a chance without him. And I want to tell you something. He was doing that all things might be fulfilled. But immediately coming from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Guys, I want to tell you, yesterday was a sign for me. You go, well, what happened? Did you see something weird? No. What happened was I was obedient and God opened doors for me to talk to people, individuals, and to share with them and to do what God's called me to do. I didn't go in there and pry no doors open. I didn't go in there, you know, but what, and here's the deal, I think sometimes we take the super out of the supernatural that God's called us to walk in. And guys, I'm not talking about out there being in La La Land, but what I am talking about is this. The truth is, and I've told this before, it is impossible for me and Kim to get together and be married. It was impossible. She lived 305 miles, no, further than that, wait, 450 miles north of me. It was impossible. And there wasn't no such thing as a date nap, okay? There wasn't no such thing, okay? I'd been scared of it if it was, but anyway. But the point being is this, God put my dad in a situation where he wanted to do something different. He moved 450 miles away from everybody, my dad, my mom. They would never have done that. But God opened this door. Some things were happening down in Camden. All this was going on. And they go up there, and they're only there for 18, 20 months. But while they're there, my dad calls me, and I don't tell this a lot. I called him. It's a payphone in Minot, North Dakota. I called him and he said, yeah, we had Easter Sunday today. Da, da, da. Did you go to church? I said, no, I worked. And he said, well, you know, he said, but you know, Bruce, I think I saw your wife today. I said, I don't have a wife. I was like, what? I was like, I don't know. By that time, I was probably 19. And when we met, something sparked. And I wasn't even sure who he was talking about when he said that. And but that's who he was talking about. And interestingly, you know, after we fussed and fought for 4 years, we got married. So, because I was in Turkey one of those years, and I was in Alaska one of those years, so we got along better when I was out of the country. Anyway, so, but the point being, and now here 42 years later, yeah, 82 to, yeah, 42, okay. Math are hard, okay? Anyway, but here's the deal. The chances of him, the chances of me being here, the chances. I got called to this church 22 years ago for one service. For one service. I said, yeah, I can preach. You know, if you need to, I'll fill in until you get somebody. I wasn't looking to be a pastor. I wasn't, because I had left an interesting situation. Do what? You're still looking. Okay. Good. Okay. And, but anyway, so immediately this verse 12, guys, think about this. Immediately the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, drove him, being Jesus, into the wilderness. So we're going to be talking about Abraham, Moses, David, Joshua in the next service. What do they have in common? But one of the things that they have in common is this, guys. There's always, before there is growth, there is always resistance. I want you to think about that. And we've talked about this before. I like to compare it to our bodies. So let's say I'm running a senior marathon, okay, which I ain't gonna, I don't have no plans on that, by the way. It'd have to be a senior. But anyway, but the point being is this. Can you imagine me just saying, okay, it's Monday, I gotta get me a pair of them little shorts, and that's all the preparation I'm gonna do, and getting out there and running a marathon, what is it, 26.2 or 20-something, something point something. It's a long ways, okay? Can you imagine how great I would do at that? No matter how much chicken I've eaten the last few weeks. But anyway, but the point being is this. What I would do, if that was a desire of my heart, that was something I wanted to do, what I would do, literally, guys, is I would begin to, every day, run, get on a program, set an alarm, discipline myself, and then slowly but surely that resistance, and what happens is that body, it actually tears down your body and actually builds back stronger. And same way with weights. Let's say I wanted to bench press over 300 again, okay, which, you know, Lord hadn't spoke that to me. But anyway, but the point being is this, I'd have to start a program tearing down and building up, okay? But that's what has in common. But here's the deal. He immediately, he's been baptized. He hasn't come out as the Messiah, but immediately the Spirit drove him to the wilderness, and that is for this resistance. Because you're gonna see something here. Okay. And immediately the Spirit drove him there, and he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. And the other accounts of this go into way more detail, but here's the bottom line, guys. The bottom line is this. He was driven in and came out in the power of the Holy Spirit because of that resistance. And we don't, I'm not saying this to be funny, okay? This is not a joke. I don't want nobody in here to go through nothing. I love you. And if you're watching here, and I don't, would not wish anything to be hard. I want it to just be easy, you know, everything. But I can tell you, as I look around this room, all of us, if I was looking, you know, I can see myself when I look in there. We've all been through some stuff, hadn't we? And I want to tell you something. We can do two things when stuff happens, when we have resistance. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to become better and refuse to be bitter. Has anybody in here ever been through something? Anybody in here going through something? I'm telling you, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to do exactly what Jesus did. As I go through it, I'm going to look over and I think it's amazing that it says the angels ministered to him. And here's the deal. The Holy Spirit has, I can't tell you how many times I've been somewhere and people, God would use the most least likely candidate to minister to me. And I'm not saying they were angels, okay? They actually were not angels, okay? But after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to tell you, and this is what he's saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And guys, we got about 2 minutes left, but here's, as we say that word repent, I want you to hear this real quick. I want to tell you, I come from an extreme legalistic background, okay? Also, have a very perfectionism upbringing outside of religion, okay? So you put those two things together and you become a professional critic, okay? I mean, if you're wondering if you're doing everything right or not, just call me and I'll brief you on what you're doing wrong, okay? But I won't. I refuse to do that. But guys, literally, as we look at this, as we are saying, God, what in the world? Why am I going through this? I want to tell you something. In this life, there is, okay, there's trouble. I've still every day put on my gear, go to work, and okay, not Saturdays and Sundays, but unless I'm called out. But the point is I put my gear on, I go to work, and I deal with people who are having major issues, okay? Or we don't get called when everything's good, okay? So, but the point is this, guys. Literally, don't let what you're going through, it's resistance, it's pain, it hurts, and I know that. But in that, worship him. In that, thank him. Not for what's going on, but thank him for bringing you through. Go ahead and begin to speak those words. Go ahead and begin to pray those prayers. Say, God, you know. And I came to this conclusion in the 70s. Yeah. Balıkesir, Turkey. Standing out on the side of a mountain. And I was thinking, what am I going to do about this? I'm not going to go into the details. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? What should I do about this? What's the best thing to do about this? I had pencils and papers. I was writing. I'm saving money for this. What about this? Should I invest in this? Should I do this? Should I go back to college? Should I get out this, just get out of the military this next? Anyway, all this was going on. And this fear just kept coming, not crazy fear, but just kept, I want to do it perfectly. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say? I want to do it perfect. And I want to tell you, standing out there clearly saying, God, I just don't know what to do. There's just too much. And guys, clearly I saw this. Bruce, you don't have another heartbeat without me. You don't have another breath without me. Lean on me. All ye who are heavy laden, I'll make it able for you able to rest. Take my yoke. And you know what his yoke is? Following him. I mean, they had about 467 laws and regulations of can't put your milk with in the same pot as your meat and all that, and just on and on and on. And he says, look, that's heavy. He literally looked at them and says, guys, you are putting a weight on people that you nor your ancestors could live under. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did he say on the last day of the feast? Anybody who's thirsty, not the people that have their stuff together. All you guys who have just followed the law just right, all you guys who don't have, you know, whatever. No. Are you thirsty? Come to me. What did he tell the little lady at the well? She was not a poster child for done it all right, was she? Well, was she, what, literally, guys, what she was the first, one of the first ones that Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah. One of the first ones was somebody who could put their, keep their cheese on their cracker. Do you see that? And as I look at this, repent and believe in the gospel. What the word repent means is turn and quit believing that it's going to be up to you to save you. Believe that it's been paid for. Turn from that thought process. Turn from the law. Turn from the legalism. Turn from all that and say, I am yours, Lord. Lead me into your path everlasting. And he will do that. I say that on the authority of God's word. Just give up. It's a heavy burden. You know, perfectionism, legalism, it's a heavy burden. And we're going to stop there, and we're going to pick up with 16 next week, and he's going to find some rednecks to help him spread this word. And I'm sure he will go to the top theological people of his day. I'm sure that's where, but you can read ahead if you want to and find out. So, guys, I see you watching this morning. Thank you for watching, and send me a private message if you got any questions or anything. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Have a great day. We'll kick this thing back up at about 11:40.